your study's numbers line up pretty closely with what we're seeing currently in terms of children's vaccination rates in Delaware. Even with the vaccines and boosters now approved and in play for months, they weren't when the study was done. Are you surprised that this hesitancy persists with vaccines for children?
Yeah, so I mean, I think you're right. So we did this study back in March, April, before the vaccine was really approved more widely for children. And we would have hoped that, you know, over time, families would have come around to the idea of vaccinating their children. But we haven't seen that. You're exactly right. And especially in Delaware, you know, a lot of the trends we saw in terms of parents of younger kids, parents from communities of color, parents from rural neighborhoods, all of that is playing out still today in terms of vaccination rates. So you're exactly right that the trends are still continuing. And I think, you know, as we talk about some of our study findings in terms of beliefs, a lot of those beliefs are firmly held. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've done a great job of targeting those beliefs and leveraging trusted experts like doctors to do the job and the hard work of convincing parents to vaccinate their children.
So let's start to dig in a little bit here. Let's start with some of the factors that your survey found that is driving this hesitancy. And I guess, you know, Paul, I'll turn to you. Are there some specific factors that seem to be giving parents pause?
Yeah. So in our study, we really looked at, we used the health belief model, which is a theory to help understand why people make certain health decisions. And when we look at the health belief model, we see that parents tend to consider a lot of different factors, like the severity of the illness, whether their child will be susceptible to the illness, whether the vaccine will be effective, and whether they feel that the vaccine is safe. And so, you know, with the ongoing pandemic, you know, a lot of the early literature was suggesting that young children may not be as susceptible to the COVID-19 virus, or if they catch it, it may not be as severe. And so that may be factoring into parents' decision on whether or not to vaccinate their child. I think there is also with the Omicron variant, there's the fact that even if you are vaccinated, it's not going to 100% prevent you from getting the COVID-19 getting COVID-19. So those are all things that parents may be considering and thinking about when they're deciding to get their child vaccinated. But it's important to know that we can still focus on those key components, right? The severity, susceptibility, thoughts about whether the vaccine is effective, and thoughts about whether the vaccine is safe, to help educate parents and help them make an informed decision about whether or not to get their child vaccinated. So, for example, we do know that you know, young children are catching COVID-19, they can become seriously ill. We also know that while the vaccine, you can still catch COVID-19, even if you receive the vaccine, you are less likely to be hospitalized and you're less likely to have severe illness.
So we talked a little bit earlier about the numbers in Delaware, and in Delaware, vaccination rate for kids and adolescents, teens, is lagging behind the adult population. I'm curious if your study at all indicates that some parents may be willing to vaccinate themselves but remain hesitant to vaccinate their kids. Is that something that we see as a trend?
You know, so we did a separate study that hasn't been published yet that actually looked at that question, mm-hmm. about whether parents had vaccinated themselves and then what their intent to vaccinate their children was. And it was actually really strongly associated with one another, not surprisingly. And I think there's national data to support that too. I think, so I do think that there's a relationship between, you know, whether a parent is gonna vaccinate themselves and whether they would be willing to vaccinate their child. But I think to some of Paul's points, there's that extra factor, right? That like parents are worried about their kids and they think a little bit harder about their kids' health in some ways than their own health. And so, you know, especially with things like research trials, you know, when you hear about that, you get a little bit scared as a parent. And, you know, the data, you know, is strong, but, you know, for some, it happened very quickly. And so I think when it comes to making a decision about your child, and as a parent, I feel the same way about my child, you know, you pause a little bit and think a little bit harder about that decision. So while I do think, you know, parent intent to vaccinate themselves and their children is very strongly associated, I can see why there's a little bit of a difference.
You also talked a little bit earlier about some of the disparities that you found in your study about where this hesitancy lies. Can you talk a little bit more about those disparities? And do they track with traditional healthcare inequities that we see?
Yeah, so I can speak a little bit to some of the socio-demographic disparities that we found. And then I think Paul can talk a little bit about, you know, the actual relationship to beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's different depending on the population. You would think that, you know, some of these disparities are all the same, but what we found is that different populations have differing beliefs. And that's an important point of our study. So generally, and we've hinted at this, we found that parents of younger children were 2 to 4 times more likely to be unsure about vaccinating their children, depending on the age group. And so the younger age groups were kind of those who were like 4 times more likely to be unsure. We found that parents of Black children and parents of children from disadvantaged communities were 2 times more likely to be unsure or not intend to vaccinate their children. And then parents from rural communities were 2.5 times more likely to not intend to vaccinate their children.
Paul, you want to pick it up from there?
Yep. And I think to your other question, the disparities that we are seeing in intention to vaccinate do tend to follow some of the disparities we see in other areas of healthcare delivery or healthcare access. So when it comes to beliefs, we do see that parents of younger children, parents of Black children, and parents of children from disadvantaged communities were less likely to believe that the vaccine would be safe or effective. And caregivers of younger children and from rural communities were less likely to believe that their child was susceptible to the COVID-19 virus, which makes sense kind of based on what I think has been portrayed in the media. And when we look at who influences parents' decisions about whether to vaccinate their child or whether they might want to get their child the vaccine, we see that most caregivers say that they're influenced by health experts or physicians, fewer people were saying that they were influenced by community members, things like that. But we did see differences, racial ethnic disparities in that as well, where we saw parents from communities of color in disadvantaged communities were less likely to say that they would be influenced by health experts.
Yeah, I want to build a little bit, Paul, on what you just said about where people get their information, where they trust their information from, because we've heard state officials talk regularly about vaccine myths or disinformation as being an issue. Did your study find anything about, you know, more about where parents get their information? And is there something that we can learn from that about how to maybe combat this disinformation issue that seems to be leading to at least some of the hesitancy?
So that's a really great question. We didn't ask parents specifically where they were getting information about the vaccine. I think some other researchers are working on that, but I'm not able to, you know, sure, name a specific paper, sure, off the top of my head. The important thing we do know, though, is that most parents, even though they said that they may not trust a health expert, may be skeptical of a health expert, a lot of parents, and especially parents of children of color, said that they did trust their pediatrician, or they would want their pediatrician to give their child their vaccine. So there are, you know, parents have that relationship with their child's pediatrician, their child's healthcare provider, and see them as a trusted source, a trusted person, and they would be more likely to trust the information that they're getting. So within the healthcare system, we do have the ability to help address uncertainty about the COVID-19 vaccine.
I'm curious, are there other strategies that you guys are looking at as you go through this study and kind of use it to promote vaccination and improve access to vaccinations? Are there other ways to kind of make these numbers go up somehow?
Yeah, it's a big task ahead of all of us. But we do have, based off of this work, an NIH grant, and we're partnering with the University of Delaware and Christiana on this to sort of create strategies and employ them in our primary care settings, just like Paul said, to kind of leverage that trust that parents and teens and youth have in their pediatrician. We've actually been partnering with leaders in the Latino and Black communities across Delaware. So organizations like the Latin American Community Center, Kent County Coalition, Teen Warehouse, Metro Urban League. It's really important, we felt like, to partner with different community partners and organizations to really understand what are they hearing on the ground? What are those myths that you were talking about? What are the beliefs that we need to combat? But also, you know, what are the motivators? What do people really care about? What's the messaging that we should be delivering? And what we've been finding is that it's different for each community. And so we're really trying to tailor our messaging and our strategies to each community. I think instead of doing like a broad, you know, universal messaging, it's really important. And what our study found is it's really important to target beliefs that are specific to certain communities and really work with people to understand, you know, why do you believe this? And how can I change your mind in a way that I think pediatricians can do, which is why we're leveraging, you know, Arnamore's primary care clinics to do so.
I was going to say, does that also kind of extend a little bit to boosters? What I wonder is, will some parents feel like, okay, I got my child vaccinated, maybe I got past my hesitancy for that, but do I really want to do a booster right on top of that 6 months later? Is finding a way to message that important as well?
It's ever evolving, right? And I think that's part of it, is that the messaging has to change with, you know, the evidence that we know, which is changing too with the virus. And so we're constantly keeping tabs with our current project on, you know, again, what are the misinformation that people are getting? Like, what information do they need to know? And boosters is certainly one of those. So I think you're exactly right. Kind of keeping up with that is important for this effort too.
So I just want to wrap up with this question for both of you. And if a parent came to you and asked about vaccinating their child, what would your personal message be to them to try to allay any hesitancy that they have?
So I think what I would tell a parent is that getting your child the COVID-19 vaccine is the best way to protect your child. And I know that it's a big decision, and I understand that it's not, parents put a lot of thought into whether or not to get their child vaccinated. But as a parent, we all want to take care of our kids. We want to protect them from the bad things out there, and getting them the COVID-19 vaccine can do that. And it can also allow you to get back to those things that you want to do, which is, you know, going back to school, spending time with family, spending time with friends. So not only are you going to protect your child, but you're also going to kind of elevate them and be able to do those things that are so important.
Do you also have any advice for a parent who's dealing with a child who's very nervous about getting vaccinated, or even a teen who might be, yeah, I don't feel like I need it? I mean, is there something you would tell them to help them kind of get past that?
So as a psychologist, the thing I recommend first is just listen. Your child, if they're scared, they need to be heard. Regardless of if their fears are grounded in reality or magical thinking, it's okay. Just sit there and listen. And it's important to validate those feelings because they're true and they're real. And then once you have a chance for the child to kind of express how they're feeling, then you can help them figure out how they might address those concerns or how they might address those fears. So if it's a fear about, is the shot going to hurt or not, there are great things we can do to help with pain. If it's deep breathing or relaxation or distraction, that's great. That can be really helpful. If kids are afraid about the side effects, we can talk to them about things they can do to help reduce those side effects, like taking over-the-counter pain medications, you know, warm compress, things like that. If they're concerned about, is something bad going to happen, that's a great opportunity to sit down and do some learning with your child and help them understand what are the risks and benefits of getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Just probably like a parent, you know, you've already done yourself. And it can be a great kind of opportunity for a child to feel involved and then feel a little bit more confident going forward.